Hey, it's Tony and Melissa. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast.
Here are some of the best parts from today's show. Hope you'll subscribe, share, and like us.
Okay, we are honored to have Governor Ned Lamont with us here this morning. He has been a rock through this whole coronavirus. We thank him for joining us on a regular basis these last couple of weeks. Governor Ned Lamont, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Tony. Hi, Melissa.
So glad you are here, sir. The executive order calls for non-essential workers to stay home starting tonight. Now, we looked at the list of essential workers, and there's a lot of industries and workplaces on there. Do you think that this will help significantly, or are we getting closer to a state shutdown?
No, this is really important. Obviously, manufacturing, construction, some of the core businesses that we do are staying open. You know, manufacturing, they're able to do a fever test of people before they get in, so we can keep building subs, keep building helicopters. That's frankly under the defense law as well. We have to keep them going. But our service economy, Tony, any place that people congregate, that's what we're trying to shut down. That's where we're urging people. That's non-essential. You don't have to be there. Maybe you can, if it's needed, it's a pickup type of mechanism that would work. But otherwise, we just don't want people congregating at that particular store or retail outlet.
So, Governor, can you actually just really quickly give us an idea, like what are some non-essential places, just so that we have an idea, only because we're seeing a lot of the essentials, and maybe I'm just going blank. I probably am. But can you give us a couple examples? What do you mean by non-essential?
I mean, all those Main Street stores where people might be likely to congregate to buy, you know, clothing, to buy, you know, ornaments, gifts, things that you may not necessarily need. We're trying to think hard, though, about it, because if your washing machine breaks, you have to be able to perhaps replace that at some point. So we've got some of the big box stores that are still open, trying to figure out ways that we could make that easier as a pickup or delivery mechanism rather than have people congregating in a store. The bottom line is we're trying to keep people out of big groups and to increasingly keep them out of even small groups where they interface with each other. I want to make sure that people can have a good 6-8 feet of social distance. And if you're over 65, if you're over 70, really just stay home. Maybe you can get a young person to help pick up some necessities you need. But for those folks in particular, older folks, they've got to stay home. They are the most vulnerable.
Governor Ned Lamont is here with us, and we're talking coronavirus. What else? Governor, what's the latest on medical equipment, masks, ventilators, beds, gear? Where does Connecticut stand with this?
Well, we've done everything we can as a state. The first thing we did was no more elective surgery, going to all those medical facilities. They are, A, giving us beds, B, giving us additional personnel, nurses and the such. And a lot of them do have protective gear, masks and the such. So that's helping in the very near term. Obviously, everybody, all 50 states are pushing like heck on the federal government to step it up. We did get a small supply at the end of last week, so we got some more masks and PPE distributed. But our hospitals, especially those in Fairfield County, are stretched to the max. So we're doing everything we can, a nationwide search, working with my fellow governors to acquire anything we can.
And, Governor, I know you have been at the front lines of this from the very beginning, have been super active, has been a great leader in all of this. And I know that you just told us a couple minutes ago, we're probably not nearing a state shutdown, but it does seem week to week, things are getting progressively worse, unfortunately. And I don't want to scare anybody. I'm not sitting here saying that we are obviously nearing a shutdown because who am I? I'm nobody. But if we were to have a state shutdown, could you just kind of define what that looks like? I mean, people are worrying that looks like Italy, so like you can't go to the grocery stores or pharmacy, or is this executive order, is this probably where we're going to cap off with just the non-essential workers, or do you think there's a chance?
No, we follow this every single day, and good news about Connecticut is people are stepping up and doing the right thing in most cases. Remember a few weeks ago was parades. I didn't have to shut them down. They shut themselves down. Then it was schools, and 95% of the schools shut down. Then we did have a problem. You know, our bars were packed that Sunday night before St. Patrick's Day, packed, and we realized people were not taking this seriously. especially some younger folks. So we did have to shut down, bars and restaurants. You know, this new order, when it comes to non-essential services, we're going to watch it carefully. And, I hope to God people take this seriously and we don't have to take even more measures. But stay home. I say that in particular to young people who may be a little more cavalier. I walked through a big state park yesterday with Annie. We kept our distance. But there were some groups of young people that were not practicing social distancing. And those are folks that really have to take this seriously. They don't just endanger themselves. They endanger the greater community and their families.
Speaking with Governor Ned Lamont this morning, sir, we know you're busy. One more question. We've been urging listeners to sign up for the CT alert. What kind of alerts will people get if you sign up for that?
As you know, yesterday we did our first telephonic reverse 911. But more importantly, now we're also going to have the capability to send you updated text messages. I tell you about testing protocols, where we have additional testing capacity. You know, we tested over 3,000 people now. That's one place where we had some catching up to do, and we have caught up in a big way. So we can test, not just those who are most sick at the hospital, so we know who has to be quarantined, but increasingly prioritizing our healthcare workers so they can be tested. We can get them back on the battlefield as soon as possible.
Governor Lamont, we know you're busy. Thank you so very, very much for taking a few minutes. We hope to check in with you again throughout this whole crisis. And until it ends. Thank you so much for taking the time.
And I got to say thank you. You've been giving good, honest information. There's more rumors out there, so WICC is very helpful on this front.
As we continue on this Monday, yeah, we've got 7:38, and we are looking at 36 degrees. With us here on the listener line, we've got State Senator Tony Wong. He's with us this morning. How are you this morning, sir?
I am good. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's break down the governor's most recent executive order. Non-essential workers stay home starting tonight.
Absolutely. The governor has taken the adage of stay safe, stay at home. And it's really kind of trying to maintain that delicate balance between maintaining some modicum of businesses so that the rug doesn't get pulled from under them to be able to conduct business that are essential. But while maintaining the idea of keeping people at home, flattening the curve, it's a very difficult balance. And when he issued the order earlier on Friday, there was a lot of confusion. As of last night, he issued a list that gave some degree of guideline. But I would caution that that guideline has some flexibility and this opening that if your business or your services are deemed valuable or essential, that you can make a request to the commissioner of DECD, and you can facilitate making that request, and there can be exceptions allowed. So it really is ultimately still a very, very fluid situation. And it's remarkable, Tony and Melissa, isn't it? Just seems like weeks ago that whoever heard of the coronavirus, social distancing, you know, protective equipments, and the run on Purell and toilet paper of all things. It's really a remarkable dynamic shift that we're encountering day to day. It's quite stunning.
Yeah, it really is. And Senator, you actually just kind of brought it up, which is my next question. If you look at that list of the essential workers, it's pretty lengthy. I got to be honest. It's really lengthy. And I had to think of, okay, well, who's non-essential? Because honestly, it's a very long list. Do you really think that that's going to flatten the curve? Or do you anticipate that we're eventually going to kind of end up with a statewide shutdown?
Well, the idea of a statewide shutdown or, quote, shelter in place is a very drastic step. What that does is literally close all aspect of operations. And in some cases, the conversation that you and I are having as a public service may potentially be impacted. And so we have to be very cautious. And I really want to compliment the governor and the legislative body in regards, we are all in this together in the state of Connecticut. And the unified messages and support is critical. Look at the difficulty they're having in Washington to make decisions. That kind of instability or that inability to reach an agreement is undermining confidence. So I want to applaud the governor, and you know, your station's awesome because you get the governor every Monday at 8 o'clock, it seems. But the positive is we're sending out a message that we're all in this together. And it really is about common sense and consideration of others. If you don't need to be out there, don't.
And I agree with you. I think the governor has done, I think, an amazing job. I think he's been one of the, I'd say, leaders in the country, one of the governors, I think, along with Cuomo in New York. I think both of them have been two of the most active leaders on the forefront with this. And I applaud our governor for all he's done so far. And yes, he's coming up in just about 20 minutes. But I will say, Senator, that I'm questioning. I'd love to hear from you on your front about this. Fairfield Police just put this PSA together over the weekend. I thought it was great. It's very to the point. And I think it really applies to every town and city. What are kind of your thoughts on, I know it's very difficult. Schools are out. Parents are stuck home with their kids. I shouldn't say stuck. I mean, we love our kids. But our kids are kind of running out of stuff to do. What are your thoughts on, you know, beaches, parks, playgrounds? Everything is kind of shut down right now because it doesn't seem like we're doing enough with the social distancing. We're still kind of coming up short a little bit.
It's called common sense. And saying that, I thought the Fairfield Police Department, and I know that the Westport Police Department has done the same type of outreach to offer to people a context of perspective, and that we need to remain calm, composed, and also take a moment back to reflect on a community sense of compassion for others. And I think that's an important message that, you know, we are struggling and there are challenges in front of us. But I've also found rewards that families have spent time reading to each other, talking and engaging and cooking, you know. And these are all things that sometimes in a fast-paced life we've taken for granted and we've somehow rediscovered. So there are many positives that we can glean from this. And I also want to offer the fact that we have seen tremendous opportunities for community and great storytelling from people, that young people are running errands for seniors that are homebound, that, you know, people are supporting their small businesses and going out and buying gift cards and buying food and promoting their small businesses. And the fact the little things that are being done, people donating goods, you see in these time of challenges, we always hear about the bad news. I think it's also important to capture the good in the community, that there's so many people doing that to kind of reassure us that we're all going to be okay.
Yes, we are, Tony, and it's because of leaders like you. That's why we're going to be okay. And we thank you for stopping by here each and every Monday at this time with an update. We've run out of time, unfortunately, but thank you so much, State Senator Tony Wong.
Be safe.
Tony and Melissa in the morning on WICC 600, sponsored by Selco Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right, good morning. It's just about 7:09. We are joined this morning by Dr. Fred Brown of Griffin Health. And Dr. Brown, it's always a pleasure to speak with you. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm very good. How are you today?
We're doing okay. So glad you're here. What's the latest from Griffin Health regarding the coronavirus? I mean, how is your healthcare staff holding up with materials, you know, like face masks and ventilators, things of that nature?
Right now, we're doing okay. I mean, it's been great. We've received a lot of community support to make sure that we have plenty of masks, gowns, gloves. So we do have a lot of material right now. We can always use more. We're expecting quite a few more patients coming to the hospital. Unfortunately, we don't think this is over yet.
And Dr. Brown, we learned earlier this month a Griffin Health physician actually tested positive for COVID-19. So what's the latest on that situation, and how is the rest of the staff there staying healthy and making sure that they can continue doing their job on the front lines? That's got to be kind of a challenging situation.
It's always a challenge when one of our physicians or any physician or healthcare worker gets infected with a virus like this. I mean, we are frontline. We are going to be close to this. This is why it's really important that we take precautions to prevent the spread and sort of, and again, as the chief medical officer of our hospital, I want to make sure that our medical staff and our staff are protected. He's doing well. Luckily, this was early, and he was an outpatient physician, so he was not in the hospital, and he appears to be doing better.
Sir, I got a question for you regarding kind of a two-part question, actually. Let me ask you this. If somebody lives in a two-family house, okay, and one family is fine, they are coronavirus-free, the other family that's living on the other side, they might have been exposed to the virus. How easy is it to be passed through the walls like that? How easy is the virus passed through the walls like that?
Not easy at all. It's actually extremely difficult. In fact, I would say it really doesn't happen. This is why you keep hearing about spatial distancing. You hear about making sure you wash your hands. This is a droplet disease. So you really need to have either a direct, very close contact with someone who is infected to, unfortunately, this, I know this is a little gross, to cough or sneeze on you. Or you need to come in contact with an area that has been coughed or sneezed on. Touch that and then bring that to your face. So if someone is if there's a wall between two families, then again, that spatial distancing becomes very important.
Okay. And a number of people have said opening the windows and airing out your home can help get rid of the virus. I mean, is that true or just a myth?
Unfortunately, it's a little bit of a myth. The concern is that most viruses are sensitive to UV light. So if you are outside and the virus does have some exposure to UV light, it can kill the virus, but the actual wind doesn't really do all that much. And once you do have the virus, you're not going to be able to eliminate it by UV light. It's really about reducing that transmission.
And not to double back, Dr. Brown, but actually Tony's initial question of coming through the walls. I mean, that's good to know about social distancing. But what about if you were to then walk into that area, even if you didn't come into contact with the people who are infected? What if you walk into their home and they have contracted or they've been exposed to it? Can you get it from the surfaces in their home if they're not disinfecting often enough?
Actually, you could. And again, this is why we continue to say, you know, hand hygiene is very important. You can get it from any surface if the surface isn't clean. So again, the important thing is that even if you touch a surface, it really needs to go from that surface to your hands, to your eyes, mouth, or nose, so you can actually introduce the virus. So again, this is where it's really important to be aware of your surroundings and, again, being hyper alert of both washing your hands and not touching your face.
And Dr. Brown, sorry, just one more question before we let you go. You're so informative. We appreciate your time. The governor said recently, and I think I read this in the Connecticut Post, and I just wanted to get your take on this. The governor said that the group of people in Connecticut with the most infections are between the ages of 40 and 49. I thought that was really interesting, only because we hear so much about how 60 plus, that's the most susceptible age range and so on and so forth. Any idea why we're seeing the most infections or the most confirmed cases in people 40 to 49?
I'm absolutely happy to clarify that confusion. So this is a virus. This virus can affect anyone. We also would expect to see that it's going to present in different ways in different populations. You've probably also heard that children can't get it. That's actually not necessarily true. Children can get it. They just appear to have a more mild type of infection. It appears as a person gets a little bit older, they're going to have a little bit more effect. The concern that we have in the 65 and older is not only they can get it, but they're more vulnerable to bad outcomes. So that's our biggest concern. So we consider the 65 and older as the vulnerable population, and we want to try to avoid them getting this virus because we know that if they get this virus, they have a higher risk of becoming severe and potentially critical. So again, this virus, anybody can get this virus, and anybody can potentially transmit this virus. It's just going to have a different effect in different age groups.
Dr. Brown, we've run out of time, but we thank you so much for taking a few minutes. Thank you so much. I will talk to you next week, I hope.
Yeah, every Monday.
Okay.
At 7:05, right around this time, we'll have Dr. Brown on.
Oh, thank you. We certainly do appreciate that. We'll talk to you then.
My pleasure, Melissa and Tony.
Right now, we are speaking to a local dentist in our area. Dr. Elika Galara actually has her practice in Trumbull, Connecticut. She joins us live now. Dr. Galara, thanks for being with us. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. I think you're in very high spirits considering where we're at right now as a state. Tell us, first of all, how has the pandemic impacted your practice?
Well, as you all know, we have been advised by the American Dental Association to close down our offices to elective services since last Monday. We are currently seeing emergencies only, and even though some of us don't have the required N95 masks due to a worldwide shortage, we are not turning any of our patients away if they're in pain. So most dentists are still open to see our patients who are in pain and, you know, have abscesses or dental pain. We are still seeing them and we're not turning them away, but we have been advised not to see patients for cleanings and whitening procedures or any of that stuff. So a lot of us are sitting at home kind of feeling helpless. And hopefully.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, you're certainly not alone. We know that the governor for about a week and a half now, maybe even 2 weeks, has been calling on local physicians, doctors, dentists, really specialists to kind of help with the people who are on the front line sort of attacking this virus and helping patients out. And now you're kind of a part of this local effort. Tell us what you're now making a call to for other local dentists
physicians. Most dentists are type A personalities. We don't like failure. This is like a brand new low for most of us, you know, sitting at home and not being able to help. We are part of the healthcare profession, but we've been asked to sit down and not really be part of the solution. So I saw that in New York and Manhattan, there were some dentists who were doing this, and it gave me an idea to maybe we can all be part of the solution as well. You know, most dentists want to help and be part of the solution. And since most hospitals, healthcare facilities, and different towns' EMSs have either run out or are about to run out of masks and other supplies, I was thinking maybe we can ask every dentist in Fairfield County that is willing and able to spare even one box of masks, a box of gloves or gowns, to please call your local hospitals and ask them where you can drop off your donation. I truly understand that you might not, as a dentist, have any or enough left for your own offices. So if you can't donate, that's perfectly understandable, because we were all rationed, gave us only 5 boxes for a month now. They've been only giving us 5 boxes of masks a week. So some dentists don't even have any to spare. But I'm asking, if you do have any, even if you can spare one box, I think if there are like 20 dentists, that would be 20 boxes of masks. So since we're not going back to our offices anytime soon, I was thinking maybe this small act of kindness on your part can bring some relief to our hardworking healthcare colleagues. So it's not my idea. I saw other states are doing it, other cities are doing it, and today I called Bridgeport Hospital, and they said that Trumbull's EMS actually has run out of masks. So me and a couple other dentists are going to get together on Monday and see if we can deliver some masks and gloves to the town of Trumbull EMS department. So, and I thought if everybody can just do, you know, one little part, it should add up to a lot. So that was what I was thinking today.
I love that. And I just want to reiterate, yeah, Dr. Galara, that it's not just for Trumbull dentists. You're kind of putting this call out there to all of Fairfield County, any of our listeners, if they have anything to spare, to call their local hospitals to be able to find out where they can drop those items off, right?
Yeah, because, I mean, I could see how we could try to organize and get together and collect the gloves and the masks, but then it will be really hard to do because a lot of offices are closed. We can't really just call a dental office and say, hey, can you spare a box of gloves or a box of masks, because they're not in their offices. So I thought by calling you and asking you to, you know, do a shout out, maybe it will reach some dentists out there who actually want to do something, because it's really hard. This whole being at home doing nothing is becoming really hard for most of us dentists that I talk to. Thank you for doing this, Melissa.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for thinking of us to share the message, and hopefully we collect a lot of items. That's Dr. Elika Galara out of Trumbull. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And stay safe. And hashtag, we're all in it together.
Good morning. We're at 8:37. It's Tony and Melissa in the morning. We are at 38 degrees as another day continuing with our coronavirus update. Now, the Miss Dallas shop in Milford is both a consignment shop and a unique gift store where local artisans can sell their jewelry, artwork, and accessories. And with us is Linda Kilgore. She's owner of the Miss Dallas shop in Milford. Linda, how are you this morning? Wait a minute. Let me take you off of hold. How are you there, Linda?
Hi, Tony and Melissa. Thank you so much. And the entire staff of WICC for everything you do. It's awesome.
Well, thank you very, very much. How is coronavirus impacting your shop?
Well, I have two businesses here. Miss Dallas shop is closed, unfortunately. Even locked the door because I'm afraid some people miss us so much they're going to try to come in. I do have another business. It's in manufacturing, and we do subcontract through customers that cater to the military and medical fields. So we have a small staff practicing distance and clean space, always do that, and we're open there. So at least I have a place to do something.
Well, and Linda, I know that we've had you on the air once before. You guys have gone through some peaks and valleys in your business. So how are you staying so positive and motivating? Because it's, I think for a lot of local shop owners, especially when you talk about Miss Dallas, it's hard because it's just like this indefinite ending. We don't know when this is all going to come to fruition and we're going to be able to get back to work fully. So how do you kind of stay so positive?
Well, you know, we just started humming after 4 years of starting Miss Dallas. We just started experiencing a steady hum. But I just changed Miss Dallas's Facebook picture to "This Too Shall Pass." And I believe that in my heart. And I know most of my customers believe that. And we all have to stick together. That's what we practice every day here is friendship, love, smiles, laughter. And I'm even going right now to invite anyone who wants to call, who needs a laugh, who needs to tell me a story. They can call me anytime between 9 and 5 at 203-882-5395. Jerry and I will do our best to make you laugh, make you smile. And that is a landline, so you cannot text it. But we're here for you if you need us.
That's a beautiful thing. That really is. That
we've
really,
fallen
really
in love with so many people in Milford and the surrounding towns that when I tell you, although I've run my other business here for almost 40 years, I never had the opportunity because I was traveling all the time to really touch upon and have them touch upon me, the love, the kindness, the support. I mean, I think you can almost see my smile as I'm speaking because they have been so kind to us. And it's been a blessing, and I know I'm supposed to be here. And I know I will continue to be here. And all my fellow small businesses, just have the faith. Try to get creative. Think out of the box. Be the person, the entrepreneur, the small business owner, what got you where you are. We're going to start offering to ship people things. We're offering gift certificates. If you buy a gift certificate, we will give you an extra 15% free on top of that gift certificate. And we can ship anywhere in the tri-town area for free. That's Milford, West Haven, Stratford. We will ship for free via UPS. If you order something, you can see all the pictures of items that we supply on our Facebook page.
That's amazing. And again, we're talking to Linda Kilgore. She's the owner of the Miss Dallas shop in Milford. It's grown to be a very popular shop. For anyone who hasn't been there, it happens to be one of my personal favorites in Milford. It's kind of like a consignment shop, but also you could find all kinds of gifts in there. Local artisans will sell jewelry, artwork, accessories, you name it. You could pretty much find it there. Linda, what would be your pitch to people who are stuck at home? I'm not saying anybody should break the bank shopping, but we know at 8 o'clock tonight, basically all non-essential shops are going to close down, all non-essential workers. I mean, that's your industry. That's these small shops, that's the clothing stores, anything like that. But, you know, we have different things that are coming up, whether that's graduations, it's Easter, or just birthdays, whatever the case may be. I would think that you want to still encourage people to consider going local for their shopping versus, you know, going with the big box stores for gifts. Talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. One thing that I would like to put emphasis on are our artisans. They are local men and women from the ages of 15 on up to 88. They put their passion into everything that they create, make, paint, whatever it is that they do, and I'd like to offer all of their products. Again, go to our Facebook page, look at our photos. If you have any questions, I'm here for you to call. You could call me even not to buy. You can call me for moral support. You know, those of you that know Jerry and I, you know we're good to give you a laugh. We're always good for that. But please try to support the locals. You can buy gift certificates. You can ask for, I don't really want to offer curbside because I want everybody to stay home. Stay home and be safe. We love you all.
That's a beautiful thought, Linda. You know, and I give you a lot of credit because I know that you have this uplifting spirit anyway. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing to, like, carry it over into a crisis like we are going through right now. And you know, for some people, they get depressed. And for some people, it's hard to get out of that funk, you know.
It is. And I'm fortunate to have my husband and my dog because they, when I get a little sad, even the dog, they come to me. Jerry is the most, he needs a purpose. He's an ex-soldier. He needs a purpose in life, and he's on a mission right now. And his mission is to keep our production company going and our employees happy and productive, but he's also there to give me moral support. And whenever he sees it, he takes care of it. It's awesome.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. You sound like a great team. And, you know, it's like you say, this too will pass.
It'll pass.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, this is the greatest country in the world. And we've had problems before. We've licked it. And we're going to lick this as well. So we thank you so much. And,
you know,
keep on going. That's all we can say. Keep on trucking.
Listen to our president and the governor because they're doing a great job.
All right. Linda, thank you so much for taking a few minutes. That's the Miss Dallas Shop in Milford. What's your address?
16 Higgins Drive, Milford, Connecticut, off exit 40 to Woodmont, and Higgins is right there across from AAA.
Okay, and give us your phone number once again.
203-882-5395.
All right, sounds good. So if you need a laugh, if you need somebody to make you a little bit more uplifted, Linda's the person. Thank you so much, Linda.
My pleasure.
You got it.
Take care, guys. Thanks again.